Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Andrew Siciliano.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Jokic for three.
Curry shoots another three.
It's good!
Today's guests, Pro Football Focus NFL draft analyst Trevor Sikkema, Syracuse football head coach Fran Brown, Xavier men's basketball head coach Richard Pitino, and now sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
Push your toe to the table. And welcome to the show, everybody. It is good to be here.
What's up, Andrew?
I actually mean it. Not that I haven't meant it in times past when I've sat at this desk, but it is truly good to be here and
do the sports stuff.
Do the sports stuff. Get some stuff off my chest. Talk to an audience. Thank you for being here. Rich is somewhere on a beach, hopefully holding a fruity drink with an umbrella with his toes in the sand and enjoying life because it is well deserved. Enjoy it wherever you are. Rich will be back soon. However, today, tomorrow, and Friday, you get me. My name is Andrew. I used to do something called the Red Zone Channel on DirecTV on NFL Sunday Ticket, NFL Network many years. I know you probably know this, but I'm always told by people, hey, tell people who you are, reintroduce yourself, reset the show. I also now do the play-by-play of the Cleveland Browns on the radio, on your Cleveland Browns radio network.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
You may.
I am so proud of you and happy for you for having
Chris
that
Brockman.
Gig.
Thank you. That's very nice of you.
As a lifelong Browns friend, Browns fan and a friend of mine for a long time, I couldn't be more pumped that that's your gig now. And you hopefully, knock on wood, have that for the next 40 years of your life. Like, that is awesome.
You are a great American and a great friend, and I thank you kindly for all of that. And yeah.
I just want everybody to hear that. I don't tell you that enough, so I'm proud of you, buddy.
Thank you, man. I love you, too. Truly, truly, truly. And it is good to be here. Rich is back soon. As mentioned, the phone number, 844-204-RICH. We'll get that out of the way. 844-204-RICH. As always, on the Roku Sports Network, you can listen on the Infinity Sports Network. If you're on Sirius XM, it is channel 375. You could stream for free on the Odyssey app or odyssey.com. On the InstaFace, it's Rich Eisen Show. On YouTube, it is also Rich Eisen Show. You have no excuse if you cannot find a way to consume the content from this program today. A show that will include, as mentioned, Trevor Sikkema from PFF. He's amazing. A year ago, Trevor Sikkema, as I sat here, because Rich was also on a beach somewhere with a fruity drink, Trevor Sikkema said J.J. McCarthy controls the draft. Mm. In a weird way, he did. Vikings traded up. Imagine the trickle down now as we sit here today, a year later. I'll ask Trevor the same question. Which player, and it might be a quarterback, and it may surprise you. There's your tease. It may not surprise you, but it may surprise you. Classic Mike Greenberg. Coming up next, something that may surprise you. Okay.
What if it doesn't?
But what if it doesn't?
What if that it is just
the
like,
ESPN.
Eh.
That is not a shot at Greeny. That is the ESPN way of teasing. And I worked there once. coming up next. Something that will blow your mind. Not necessarily, but we're going to tell you it will. Asked Trevor the same question about this year's draft. Also coming up, Chris and I are very happy to paint the town orange. Fran Brown will
be
here.
Let's go. Our coach is on, Andrew. Let's do it.
Of the revitalized
We're back.
SU football program. First question for Fran, what the hell is wrong with basketball?
Second question, who's our quarterback?
Well, you know that one, don't you? It's a kid from LSU.
Maybe.
Okay, we'll get there.
Okay, thank you.
Also joining the show, very excited as well, Richard Pitino will be on the show. And we're excited for that.
Yes.
Chris Brockman.
Hey, Andrew.
Jason, TJ.
What's up, Andrew?
Gentlemen, thank you as well in advance for laughing in the background at my occasionally funny
if you do.
Jokes. How are you guys? Good to see you both.
I'm great, man. I'm great. It was a great sports night. Can't wait to talk draft, NFL. You were at the owner's meeting, which is sick. And we're going to pay some respects to Val. Let's do it. Let's have a show.
Absolutely.
Let's have a show.
Man, Val Kilmer, the great Val Kilmer. And I think we off the air just did it. We'll do it later. And that is, I think he's a different classic role for everybody in this room, or maybe not. Who is Val Kilmer to you other than a great actor who we lost last night at the age of 65? We'll get to that coming up in a second. But you mentioned the owners meeting. Technically, the NFL reminds you as a former league employee, it is the annual meeting. It is not the owners meetings. It is the annual meeting. And the meeting, the next one coming up in May in Minneapolis, will be the spring meeting. It is never the owners meeting because, yes, owners are there. The head coaches are there. Senior executives are there from not only the clubs but the league. Major TV executives, members of the media, such as yourself, myself, rather, are there, not the owners' meetings. We have headlines, all kinds of them. I think this is the one that garners the most attention, the tush push. The conversation was balanced. It was intense. From what I understand, the vote was right down the middle, 16-16.
Ooh.
Ban or continue the tushy pushy.
So there was a vote.
There was at least, it was a show, wasn't a vote.
Straw poll.
It was a straw poll. It was tabled until the next meeting in May. When something is tabled, I will tell you, that means there is a good chance it is going to pass the next time you have a meeting. They need to whip the votes. What does the commissioner want? What does Rich McKay, the head of the competition committee, the Falcons executive, what does he want? And can they get that between now and the next meeting? When something isn't going to pass, it simply does not pass. Or it is withdrawn as a proposal. When they want something to pass, they table it and they revisit it. Now, not everything that is tabled gets passed. But I'm telling you right now, I think, I feel there is a better chance than not that come May, the tush push is gone. And that next season, there will be no pushing of the tush. The tush has been put on the table, and that table will be revisited in May. And I am not guaranteeing this. Please do not go to your favorite gambling app if this is even a prop. Because I can't do that, and you shouldn't either.
Stand by.
At least for the tush push. I don't think it's going to be a part of the game in 2025. I don't. Here's why. Now, let's back out for a second. Do I think it should be banned? No, not really. I am like a lot of the coaches that say, hey, just find a way to stop it. You don't need to ban something because you can't stop it. Stop it. The Eagles are good at it. They've perfected it. It looks like a rugby play. I think it is a rugby play, to be honest with you. But find a way to stop it. There are ways to stop it. It shouldn't be hitting 95% success or whatever it is. You should be able to find a way to stop it. But I think there is enough of a push to get it out because not only they can't stop it, but because there are too many wide-ranging effects on the field. Chris, when you and I were kids, you couldn't push or carry the ball carrier. You simply couldn't do it. You knew it when you saw it. Hey, you can't do that. They threw the flag. They blew the whistle. You can't do that. 2005, they changed that. They allowed it again. Now, we didn't see the tush push immediately. We only saw it a couple of years ago. So it took 15, 16, 17 years for somebody to find the loophole and truly take advantage. Give credit to the Eagles for doing that. They did it. They perfected it. You can't stop it. They win games because of it. They make it a three down game because of it. But there are safety concerns. Right now, they don't have the injury data. There's Chris Jones getting hurt, I guess you could say. But they don't have overwhelming injury data. So the league knows that they can't right now say, hey, it is too dangerous. Here are the numbers, like the kickoffs. It is too dangerous. Here are the numbers. We got to change. They don't have that right now. But they do have a fear that if they don't get rid of it now, the injuries will spike. Let's listen to the commissioner.
The discussion on the tush push was very good. It was, we showed a lot of data, a lot of questions from the clubs, a lot of discussion about it. I think there are safety issues that are being considered in that case. We have very little data from it, but it's beyond data. There's also, there's the mechanism of injury that we study, that type of thing that leads us to show the risk involved with a particular player, particular tackle.
Two things to consider there. We don't have the data, but, look, we do think the injuries are going to spike. And the other part of it here, and this is the part that people don't look at enough, is the idea that I can push you or carry you, we focus only on Jalen Hurts. This is not Jalen Hurts against the other 31 teams. This is not the Eagles against the other 31 teams.
But I'll use the Eagles like it
as a perspective here, a little perspective. Let's say Jalen Hurts back to throw hits, Devontae Smith on a little hitch in front of the sideline. He gets 15 yards. And then the DB picks up Devontae Smith and carries him back 5 yards. You can't do that. They're going to blow the whistle. Well, why can't they do that? If you let the offense pick up Jalen Hurts and carry him 5 yards forward, why can't the defense pick up Devontae Smith and carry him 5 yards backwards? Oh, whoa, forward progress was stopped. Okay, well then why should the rule apply on one side of the ball and not the other side of the ball? When it becomes a rugby scrum in the tush push, very often forward progress is stopped. They don't blow the whistle because you got guys behind Jalen Hurts pushing him. It isn't always about the quarterback in the B gap or the A gap for that matter on this. It's about everywhere else on the field. And what we had in 04 and then the rule was changed in 05, it took 20 years, but we've eventually gotten to the point where you're like, this all over the field has to be regulated. Also, keep in mind, honestly, the Packers didn't really write this well. It was the Packers' proposal, and you have to vote on the specific language in the proposal. The specific language bans the pushing of the guy that takes the snap immediately after he takes the snap. What's immediate? Don't laugh. What's immediate? That's subjective. So can Jalen Hurts take the snap? Wait, then Dallas Goedert goes, or whomever is behind him, and starts pushing him into that A gap or the B gap. You ever notice they almost always go left? Either way, what is immediate? And taking a pause or a hop step there after taking the snap, does that then make it legal because it wasn't immediate? So it wasn't a well-crafted proposal. That's why you table it. You send it back to committee. And you tell the Packers, if you want to go forward with this, and there's enough push to go forward with it, you rewrite it, you tweak it, and then we debate it again. Can you swing 8 votes? And as Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk very astutely pointed out today, and you could read between the lines on what Roger was saying there, does Roger want it out? It's not an autocracy here. It truly is not. He doesn't always get his way. He is the commissioner, however, and when it comes to these kinds of issues, safety-involved issues, there is often, say, the ability or the pressure, whatever. You can generally get the votes. He can generally get the votes. You have to swing 8 people between now and May, 8 teams. My gut tells me, reading between the lines and listening to Roger there yesterday on the podium in Palm Beach, I think they're going to get the votes. And I think it's gone. Wow. Now, not willing to bet my mortgage on that, but my gut tells me we have seen the last of the tush push. Your thoughts?
Just seems like we're targeting one specific team here under the guise of player safety.
No, you don't believe the player safety thing.
I absolutely do not. Jason Kelce has said the only one who is affected by this is me, the center. So I don't buy the player safety. It looks totally fine. The only reason people are anti this is because it doesn't look cool. And it kind of looks kind of ugly, and it's literally unstoppable. That's why people don't like it. And the Eagles just won the Super Bowl, so it's fun to pile on. I think it's, you don't like it, draft huge guys to play defensive tackle on 4th and 1. End of story.
I think the stuff I mentioned about forward progress and carrying ball carriers on plays that don't directly involve the quarterback sneak, I think something has to change with those. I truly do.
You mentioned the picking up and carrying Devontae Smith backwards. They're not literally picking up Jalen Hurts and carrying him.
Okay, push, pull, carry a guy. For years when we were kids, you simply could not do that. You couldn't. If the running back got stood up on the 5, you couldn't have a tackle running full speed behind him, pushing him in the back to get him across.
So are we going to get rid of those plays too, where the lineman comes in and shoves a guy five more yards into the end zone?
This is what I think. I think, yes, it's an all-encompassing thing like that. Because I think they think those plays are
seemingly more dangerous.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at. Those plays are the injury risk. More so than the tush push. And I think that's how they're going to thread this needle. Now, I don't think this is an anti-Eagles thing. I truly don't.
You honestly don't believe that?
No, I don't. I don't. I am not one of these, because every team through time has one of these, right? Oh, it's anti-us. I don't think it's. I do think they don't like the way it looks aesthetically. And as Jeffrey Lurie said yesterday, aesthetics are in the eye of the beholder. What is art to you is not art to me. Okay?
He's a rich man, probably owns a lot of art.
He's a very rich man.
He gets it.
I am not, and I don't. I don't think it looks good, but I also don't care. Like, to me, it looks like rugby.
You don't care either way if it's banned or not banned? Is that what you mean?
I do believe, hey, just find a way to stop it. But I don't like the, hey, let's push the running back into the end zone when he stood up on the 5. I don't like that at all.
I just don't get why that isn't called, like, forward progress stopped. Like, why all of a sudden this 400-pound guy comes in and shoves, like, forward progress is stopped. At least on the...
Because the rule was taken out.
But the reason on the tush-push goal line play, you can still see Jalen Hurts moving forward, or Josh Allen, or Mark Andrews. Those are kind of the three teams and the three players who do this play.
I also think what is overlooked is the idea that not every tush-push, and yes, I just did air quotes on tush-push, or brotherly shove, whatever you want to call it, actually involves somebody pushing Jalen Hurts. Plenty of them are just quarterback sneaks in which that offensive line gets low, finds a way, and he gets over the top. They are not all people pushing the quarterback.
So let's worst case this. Say this does get passed, right? But the Eagles still do a version of this where he's not being pushed. Is replay assist going to...
That's what's
going
to happen.
...chime in and say, nope, someone touched his backside. That's a penalty.
That's why it's so hard to write. The Packers put it forward. They wrote it. Immediately pushing. I guarantee you the Eagles can find a way to pull this off because Jeff Stoutland and them have perfected it. Best O-line coach in the NFL. They have found a way to perfect it where Jalen Hurts is still going to be a highly effective QB sneaker without anyone shoving him in the back. I guarantee you. Guarantee you. They will find a way around it because they're good at it. You can legislate out pushing a player. I think that's what's going to happen. They will still be highly effective, and they will find a way. Guarantee you. Anyway, we have a lot of other thoughts after the annual meeting, including what Jerry Jones said yesterday. Agents be damned. I don't need no stinking agent to give Micah Parsons a deal. That was one thing. The other thing is, I don't mind waiting. I don't care if the price goes up. I'm sorry, Jerry, that who am I to tell you how to run your business, but that cost you a lot of money there over the years by waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I do not get that part of it as well. And how Aaron Rodgers controls the draft. I mean, maybe not the top two, three picks. But Aaron Rodgers' Pittsburgh decision will greatly affect the way Thursday night rolls out in 22 days. Trevor Sikkema, PFF, coming up next. It is the Rich Eisen Show. My name is Andrew. Thanks for watching, everybody, and listening for that matter.
Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 2006 because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Hyundai vehicles have won over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards from 2006 to 2024. Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
When I said I wanted to bring a guest on, I'm like, well, I want to bring on who I wanted to be when I was a kid, and that was an offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I've been fortunate enough to get to know Mitchell and know what a good guy he is and what a great player he is. So I wanted to share this moment with the right tackle for the Chiefs, my favorite football team. Not that I need to tell anybody that.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I got to know him, I guess, at the end of last year, and we hit it off right away. We both like food. We have a lot of shared interests. He asked me where I got my meat, and we go to the same meat guy.
He goes to the same butcher here in Kansas City. I said, serious question, though, Mitch, where do you buy your meat in Kansas City? He's like, oh, this place called Bicklemeyer's. And I'm like, okay, you're in. You're good.
So, because I know how seriously you take your Kansas City food.
Yeah.
You guys go to the same butcher here.
We do, yeah.
In the city.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, when I got here, I like to cook. I was confined to an apartment in my previous life, and I got here, I got a house, got a whole backyard set up. I mean, this guy's got the greatest backyard setup you could ever imagine for cooking, and he's sending me videos all the time, different stuff to try. And
The text exchange between me and him and some of his other offensive linemen that are into smoking is hilarious. Like, one night I put a brisket on, and it was like we were kind of coordinating with the time difference of putting a brisket on around the same time. And I woke up to check my brisket and texted Mitch at 4 in the morning LA time, which was Kansas City 6 a.m. time. And I told Lindsay, my girlfriend, I'm like, I texted Mitchell Schwartz in the middle of the night about a brisket. Like, what
and
is
I
going
responded.
On?
You responded. For no reason, I was up at that exact time. And we were, because I was doing a brisket the next night. So we kind of throw ideas off each other, see what we do. I think he was doing like a 24-hour,
oh, yeah,
super slow. It got all jiggly and gooey, and the bark was perfect.
Hey, everybody. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Andrew Siciliano sitting for Rich Eisen today, who is back coming up shortly, like next week. I am sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk. It is furnished by Grainger. It's fantastic. It's my favorite desk, period. Better than the one I have in my home. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. 22 days from now, actually forget about the 22, 21 days from now, about a dozen of the NFL's future stars, at least they hope so, will be in Green Bay doing a Place 60 event, because that's what you always do the day before the draft, and, you know, wondering where their future will take them. It's pretty cool. You know, where does my life go from here? Because 21 days from now, everyone's going to be in Green Bay for the draft. Let's figure out who the heck is picking whom. Actually, we don't know. But that's why this is an amazing industry, the pre-draft industry. Trevor Sikkema is at the heart of that industry from PFF, their draft analyst, Tampa Trey. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, Andrew. Appreciate you having me on, my friend.
Appreciate you coming on. How do you, in silly season, and we just came back from the annual meeting where all the coaches and GMs speak and no one wants to tell you anything. I also call it lying season, right? How do you make sense of anything said by any coach or GM right now?
Yeah, no, it's an excellent question. Some call it smokescreen season for the alliteration, you know, because everybody loves a good alliteration. But, you know, the theme stays. You really just try to get little hints. I think from new general managers and new coaches, you know, sometimes I don't have a specific example off the top of my head, but sometimes they're just so excited to sort of be in that seat, be in that chair, be with that interview that sometimes they give a little bit more away than they want to. And so I think that that can sometimes be the case there with some new general managers and head coaches. But a lot of the seasoned ones, they're not really going to tell you anything. You really have to look at some of their draft history to kind of get more towards like, okay, yeah, sure, this team needs a corner, but they never really picked a corner in the first round. They're normally picking them somewhere on day two. You see different targets and different, I think, trends that you can notice historically a lot more than, like you said, lying season, smokescreen season, whatever you want to call it. Sometimes you do get those little nuggets here and there, though, so it makes you pay attention to all of it, especially when you compare it with who they end up selecting when it's all said and done. But it is hard to parse, there's no doubt.
Yeah, look at the Titans. I always have fans come back at me and go, hey, wait a minute. They said, Borgonzi said, or maybe it was Chad Brinker said back in January at the presser, generational player. So that means they're not taking Cam Ward because he's not generational. And then the other people push back and go, but wait, they took 15 people to pro day, including their entire content team. That has to mean they're taking him. And I remind people, it is a show. It is a show. So they are going to put on a show. They need a Godfather deal to Trey out of it. Of course, that's what they're going to say. But as we sit here 22 days away, the group think, Trevor Sikkema, is that they're taking Cam Ward. Do you buy that?
I do. And I'm going to be honest with you, Andrew. I wasn't buying it when we were at the combine. You know, this is obviously pre-free agency. And I think that's a draft analyst's best friend is the words. Well, it depends what happens in free agency, because you can never be wrong about your draft analysis before we get to free agency. Oh, everything changed. You know, they signed this guy. They didn't sign this guy. So it's the ultimate get out of jail free card. But you're right. Brinker back in January, he said, hey, we're not going to pass up on a generational prospect at number one just because we might need a certain position, even a quarterback. And then Mike Borgonzi, you know, to your credit, he also said, he was asked, I believe it was at the combine, do you think there are generational players in this draft? And he says, yes, I do think that there are generational players in this draft. So a lot of people took that, myself included, took those clues and said, okay, Well, then I think it's going to be one of either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. And I think the needs for the Titans, Abdul Carter is the one that fits more. So that made me think, if you would have asked me this question, and a lot did at the combine, I would have told you that the Titans are going to take Abdul Carter at number one overall. But then we get to free agency and the Titans don't do anything at quarterback. You really don't do anything at all. And when I thought about Abdul Carter going number one overall, it was always under the impression that they would do something at quarterback, a Russell Wilson, an Aaron Rodgers, some sort of veteran in there to at least, you know, be able to sell the fan base that it would be different than the year before. They basically just have Will Levis on the roster now at this point. And so they're not really hiding it anymore at this point. And so I've also heard, now whether this is because this is what they're going to do or not, but I've heard the Titans actually like Cam Ward quite a bit. And a lot of people in that building actually love him. So I don't know if they're going to try and sell the fan base that, hey, you know what? We weren't lying to you at the beginning. We said we'd take a generational player. We believe that Cam Ward has the ability to be a generational type quarterback for this organization. I don't know if that's what they're going to end up coming out and say, but it does feel like all roads lead to Cam Ward, because there is just no way that they can go into this next season with Will Levis as basically the best option that they have on the roster at quarterback. So from what we saw them do in free agency, or I should say lack thereof, it makes me pretty dang confident that Cam Ward's going to be the first name that we hear, and it's going to be to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, as a Browns guy, which I do work for the team, people ask me, who do you want? I say, I want Cam Ward, but that's just me. I don't think he is going to be there. If he is there somehow, some way, I would be happy. And of course, it also sets up, you know, for the next 10 years, if it is Cam Ward at number one, the conversation, is he generational? Much like the is Joe Flacco elite question, that the next iteration of that is he generational? Trevor, a year ago, we sat here and I asked you the question, you know, the player that may surprise you in the draft, and you came back. I don't remember how I phrased it, but I remember what you said. You said that basically J.J. McCarthy controls the draft, and I'm paraphrasing, in that once the top couple of quarterbacks are off the board, the big three that went in the top four, once they are off the board, that J.J. McCarthy is the one player that people are going to try to get up and get, and that will move the day. You were right. The Vikings made their move, and now a year later, funny how that works. Is there a player today, Trevor, that you would give the same label?
I don't think, well, I wouldn't say that it's a quarterback, so it's a little bit different. It doesn't hold as much weight. I think to answer that question, though, three players come to mind. Two of them are in the same bucket. One of them is a little bit of a different story. I think that whoever is going to be available at number three or number four overall between Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter, that is really what controls things, because, you know, depending on the teams and the top four, top five that have those quarterback needs, you know, maybe we do get a Shedeur Sanders. Maybe he does pop into the top three. And if that's the case, well, then all of a sudden New England's going to be sitting there at number four and they're going to have one of Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter on the board. And I think that's where the draft really begins. I think that number five overall pick is where the draft really begins, just because you want to figure out what's going to happen between those two guys. And if one of Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter happens to make it to number four, well, then it's all wide open, especially if it is a guy like Abdul Carter, because then you're going to have teams like maybe the Chicago Bears, you know, maybe the Carolina Panthers, depending on what the Jets think of their current pass rushing situation. I know it's more interior than it is on the edge, but you've got so many teams then at that point that would be willing to trade up for this caliber of a player. So if Abdul Carter gets to number four, I think that's where the draft can get totally blown wide open. But I also think that Tyler Warren is sort of that player to really answer your question in the spirit in which you are asking, because he is going to be, in my opinion, viewed as a consensus top 10 player in this class from basically every single NFL team. Now, is he going to get picked in the top 10? I'm not sure, but there's a lot of, when I hear coaches, you know, like, for example, maybe they're not using Tyler Warren's name specifically, but you listen to these coaches at NFL owners meetings and they're talking about tight ends and just how difficult it is for defensive coordinators to match up against guys that have this type of talent, how offensive coordinators and play callers love to build their entire scheme around players like this. I think that even for teams that may not have a dire tight end need, he is going to be pretty high on their board. So he, to me, is the ultimate wild card of the fact that I could see Tyler Warren going to so many different situations in the top 12. And I'm very curious at just how these teams are going to covet this type of player with where he's going to be on consensus big board.
Talking to Trevor Sikkema here from PFF, I have two outrageous takes. I don't know if I believe either of them, but I'm going to just make them hypotheticals. Tell me what you think. Take number one. Jackson Dart will go before Shedeur Sanders. Trevor, your thoughts.
I don't think it's impossible. I don't think it's likely, but in the sense of, hey, we're giving out hot takes, I do think that you at least have a chance for this one to be right. And the reason why I say that is because I have no idea where Jackson Dart is going to go in this upcoming draft. And I know I'm a draft guy. I kind of get paid to have an answer there. Well, I'm sorry. I don't have one for this type of prospect, because when I watch Jackson Dart, I would tell you that his film says more about, hey, this is sort of a day two type of bet to take. You let him sit a little bit. He can watch and learn. You like the arm talent. You like the natural athleticism. But there are so many quarterback desperate teams that we have this year that all of a sudden we know you're basically in one of two buckets. You're either a team that has a quarterback, or you're a team that does not, especially when it comes to one that gives you hope for the long term. I don't think at this point his craze is above Shedeur Sanders. I think Shedeur Sanders is going to go before Jackson Dart, but it's not crazy to think that he would sneak into the first round. You know, let's say that Shedeur ends up going really early. Maybe a guy like Jackson Dart ends up getting picked by the Pittsburgh Steelers at pick number 21, right? Like, I could see those realities existing, but it's how wide the gap is between the round grade that I have from the film on Jackson Dart, which is that of more of a mid-day two, third round type of a quarterback I'd love to take a chance on to sit and develop, and where it feels like some people might take him. Because you got to remember this too. If a guy ends up going in the first round, history will tell you, we'll see. The NFL thought Jackson Dart was a first round pick. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the NFL, but it only takes one team to be able to do it. So yeah. I would tell you that it's not totally far-fetched. The dream's not dead, but I would tell you it's a long shot still at this point. I think Shedeur's going ahead of him.
Sorry, I cut you off there. And I always hear from Browns fans as well, well, just take the quarterback, whichever quarterback, take the best quarterback at two. And I say, just because you pick a player at two doesn't mean he's the second best player in the draft. It means you picked him at two and he's always going to have right. That label. Like you said, well, then Jackson Dart would always have that label. Let's say he goes 21. He was a first-round pick. Well, that's where he got picked. So, yes. That is a fact, but that doesn't mean he's the 21st player in the draft per se when it comes to talent. It just means someone took you there. It also puts an unreasonable at times expectation on that player that perhaps got quote unquote
right.
overdrafted. Along those lines, while we're at it, before I give you my second crazy hot take here, do you think Shedeur is going to fall? Because that's groupthink right now. Sanders is going to fall, whatever that means.
I would have told you after the combine, and this was sort of my... from everything that I heard at the NFL Combine, right? Because the Combine is not just about watching drills. It's also about what you hear. It's going out, you know, it's talking to scouts, it's talking to general managers, to coaches. It's often talking to other media members who are very plugged in as well. I couldn't really find anybody to speak about Shedeur Sanders' draft stock with a lot of conviction as a first-round quarterback. So it made me think that his range is a lot closer, and the conversation about him is a lot closer to that I just had about Jackson Dart than it is about Cam Ward. And Cam Ward's basically a lock for the top three. There's no way he's getting out of the top three. I think Shedeur Sanders could possibly go into the top three, maybe to a team like the Cleveland Browns, which, you know, are trying to turn the page at the quarterback position, maybe to a team like the New York Giants, who, okay, they have Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson on the roster, but it's not like those are heavy guaranteed long-term deals. They could still take a guy like Shedeur Sanders, but then I could see him sliding into 21 with the Pittsburgh Steelers, sliding all the way to the second round. His range is just so vast. And so I was one of those people after the combine that felt as though it was more realistic that he was going to slide outside of the top three than he was going to get picked in the top three, because at that time before the combine, that felt like consensus. And so I do lean a little bit more towards him falling down the draft order from what it was originally predicted, just because of sort of like how I evaluated him as a prospect. But just like we talked about with these QB needy teams, if you don't have any answers, good chance you're probably going to pick one, just because you got to take a swing at the bat. So that it's so hard to answer the where is Shedeur going to go question, because I think the tape would tell you he's more of a, again, second round quarterback that I'd love to have sit and take a bet on for him to develop a little bit later into his rookie contract. But the fact of the matter is there's a lot of teams that just need a quarterback right now. And so maybe going back to that conversation, is he a number two overall pick type of a player? Maybe not. But that might be what Cleveland feels like they have to do because they got to get an answer there. So he's all over the place. But I think the conversation about Shador is closer to the draft range of Jackson Dart than it is of Cam Ward.
Interesting. All right, and now in our final minute, we're tight on time, and we thank you, Trevor Sikkema. Hot take number two, purely hypothetical. Here we go. Omarion Hampton will go before Ashton Jeanty.
That is indeed hot. I know you are not alone there. It is hot. I'm still saying that Ashton Jeanty, for the unbelievable season that he had, and the overall notoriety of what this past season was from him is why he is going to go as the number one running back. But I say this all the time. It's a little unfortunate that Omarion Hampton's in the same running back class as Ashton Jeanty, because he'd be a damn good running back one in so many other draft classes. So I like the spirit of it. But I don't think he's going ahead of Ashton Jeanty. So I think that one's pretty hot as well.
I've had a GM tell me he might like one better than the other. So there's that.
I told you weren't alone.
That thought is out there. Follow Tampa Trey, will you please? Trevor, congratulations on the recent nuptials. And happy draft season to you and yours, my friend. Always appreciate your insight.
What a wonderful honeymoon to be watching day three draft prospects from now until draft night. Thanks, Andrew.
Oh, you gotta love it. Honey, no, you go down to the beach. You go down to the beach. I'm looking at Justin Barron. Is he a safety or a linebacker? That's what I'm doing. Thank you, Trev. Appreciate you.
See you guys.
You got it. Trevor Sikkema, everybody, from PFF. Funny. Coming up, breaking news. Somebody's going to the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. However, we pause now, shall we do that, for a sports update here on the Rich Eisen Show. And we get that from Chris Lopresti.
Let's talk about pesty people. It's a do-it-yourself pest control. You can protect your home easily and at a quarter of the cost. Nobody likes being bugged, especially by, well, bugs. Nobody wants bugs in their home. My daughter sees a bug anytime. She doesn't sleep at night. We don't want that. When they show up at your home, you want them gone fast. Other pest control companies charge over $800 a year, but with Pesty, you can get started at just $35 per treatment with a customized plan based on your location, bugs, and climate. Everything you need is provided in one simple kit. Protect your home from bugs with Pesty. Go to pesty.com/Eisen for an extra 10% off your order. That's PESTIE.com/EISEN for an extra 10% off. Again, for 10% off your order, go to pesty.com/Eisen. Let's talk Game Time Tickets, people, because it's a perfect time of year to do so. So many great things happening in the world of sports. The college basketball tournament, playoffs are starting soon in basketball and hockey. Baseball's kicking off right now. And if you want to see some of this action live, and why don't you, the best place to start is Game Time. Because Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets for events even easier. And the curation that makes it easier to find better value for tickets, it's not just for sports. There's concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with Game Time, you get the lowest price guaranteed, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Can you tell me the story, the famous story of you noticing John Candy in the crowd before that 2 minute drill with the Bengals and your second Super Bowl win against them?
It was kind of funny because, as you know, TV timeouts are forever in the Super Bowl.
Tell me about it.
So I had been to the sideline once, maybe even twice, and we were just standing out there waiting for the signal to start to play. I think we had the ball in the eight. And Harris Barton was a people person, so yes. We were free for dinner during the week, but, you know, practice and meetings, and then come back after dinner and more meetings. So when he would come back from dinner, he was like a little kid. He could not wait to tell you about all the celebrities he saw while he was at dinner. And so we were just standing there, and between the tight end and his shoulder was framed John Candy.
In the crowd.
He was on the sideline.
Oh, he's on the sideline.
And so I sat there and I looked and I go, dang, I don't remember Harris saying he saw John Candy.
This is what you're thinking in the Super Bowl with minutes to go and needing to drive down the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So I walked over and said, hey, H, man, there's John Candy. And Harris stood like this for 8 minutes, perfectly still. He was a little bit anal that way. He would not move. He was like little. I didn't do it to unwind him. I just thought he would appreciate seeing John Candy. But he started mumbling some things. Super Bowl, you want to do a book, Candy? What do you know what's going through? I don't know what he said completely. I understood a few words, but now he appreciates it now more than he did back then,
right?
Before we started the drive.
Did you ever meet Candy, or that was the only time?
Yeah, no, I had met John a few years before that. My contract was up.
Okay.
And he was, one of the owners of the Toronto Argonauts.
Okay.
He was trying to get me to go to Canada.
Come on.
Yeah. They just didn't have enough money.
But if the price was right,
I might have been wearing an Argonaut uniform.
Yeah, you'd have a 55-yard line. You'd be like, I'll do that. So he legitimately said, hey.
Yeah, we had a couple meetings about it. Yeah.
You did? So this is real. Like, it wasn't oh, by the way.
No.
Wow. I love that.
And we're back. I hate people to say, and we're back. That's just me. And we're back. Hi, it's Andrew sitting in for Rich. I had an old radio boss years ago say, don't ever say, we'll be right back. Because then you're telling people to leave. Right? You need to get them to stay. We'll be back. Okay, well, they're going to go. They've got a million other options in their car.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're telling them, what we're going to run now, these commercials mean nothing to you. We'll be back. Like, something else is going to happen. That makes sense?
What did he tell you to say?
You try to give them incentive to stay.
Right.
Which is then like, now it wasn't my ESPN boss. This is way too inside radio here. But, that's why ESPN radio or any, they tease so well, for example.
Right.
It's, hey, coming up next, something that will blow your mind. Coming up next, incentive for you to stay.
Yeah, and you're like, whoa, what could they be talking about? I got to stay.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Coming up next.
What Andrew had for dinner last night.
Something happened last night that we have never seen before.
Yeah.
It's the Rich Eisen Show. It's Andrew Siciliano sitting in for Rich. Coming up next week, Rich is back. No. Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting toward your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 120 IIHS top safety awards since 2006 because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Hyundai vehicles have won over 120 IIHS top safety awards from 2006 to 2024. This is not going to be a Syracuse-only show, I promise you, but coming up in about 15 minutes, the head coach of the Orange, the football version of them, Fran Brown, coming off a fantastic first year.
We're back.
In Central New York in the 315 will join us. And speaking of Syracuse, a big round of applause and a congratulations to Carmelo Anthony. Breaking news. Carmelo Anthony is going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't care what he did in the NBA. Actually, he did a lot. Like, he was really good.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He's amazing. The fact that he won SU its national championship in 2003 with Jerry McNamara and Hakeem Warrick, good enough for me. Should be in the Hall of Fame. Period. Full stop. And he's also speaking at commencement.
He is. Who is your commencement speaker? I was doing this yesterday with some all my SUV. You don't remember?
Actually, I do. I think it was Steve Croft of 60 Minutes.
Okay.
You?
Well, this was 2002, so right off of 9/11, we had America's Mayor was our speaker.
How was that?
It was terrible. and it hasn't aged well. So
the whole thing was not a Borat sketch, though, right?
No. But there were a lot of protests going on during it for, you know, some of the things he did in New York City.
Carmelo Anthony, 10-time NBA All-Star, 2-time All-NBA second team, won the scoring title in 13, All-Rookie team in 04 on the NBA 75th anniversary team.
Yeah, 3-time gold medal and one of the best, U.S. Olympic players ever, Carmelo Anthony.
Career, facts. 22.5 points a game in the NBA, 28,000 career points.
Knicks single game scoring record, 62.
He is a Hall of Famer and gives a lot back to his alma mater.
He does.
The facility that the basketball team trains in every day, the Carmelo Anthony Center. That night, 2003, beating Kansas, cutting down the Nets in New Orleans. Yours truly was there. One of the best nights of my sports fandom. Utterly fantastic. And then partied on Bourbon Street. That was amazing. Congratulations to Carmelo Anthony. And his son, by
love
the way.
Him. And his
matriculating
son.
Matriculating at the school coming, and playing basketball.
He's going to play with us this year. Cannot next wait. It's going to be great. Year.
Brock, did I ever tell you about the time we punked Melo?
You punked Melo?
Yeah.
You have, but please tell that story right now.
Well, Andrew, I used to produce Punked on MTV years ago.
Are you punking us now by not telling us?
April Fool's was yesterday, so you're in the clear today. But yeah, it started off, it was going to be, and looking back now, it might not have been in the best today's climate, it probably wouldn't be very good, all right? But we were going to have him, a hotel room he was staying in, just get completely trashed. And then there was going to be a girl in there. And then there's going to be a whole kerfuffle. And then, you know, we had our art department go to the room with Mello's friends. And the way the room was destroyed, it looked like a Led Zeppelin concert had just taken place. And his friends were like, we'd mess it up, but we wouldn't mess it up this bad. So it was like we had to get the art department, put the room back together a little bit. So it was a little bit trashed, but not like ridiculously trashed. And it was just a whole thing. But yeah, it went off. It went off pretty well after that.
And just to be clear, the girl's name was not Kerfuffle, right? Was,
no.
And that was when he was with Denver, right?
Denver, yeah. Because I have a signed, probably Andrew, a signed one of one. I'm the only one on the world who has an authentic Carmelo Anthony Nuggets jersey that says, TJ, I got punked on it. I'm the only person.
It's pretty great.
Wow.
I think it's here, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Yeah, I think it might be.
Let's find that. It's pretty great. Yeah, yeah. Melo's the best, man. Wish he could have had a deep playoff run, maybe got an NBA title along the way, but awesome guy, awesome career, and what he did for us in 03.
Pure scorer, man.
Goated.
When Carmelo came to town, he is one of those players where, and I not trashing the NBA. I think there are a lot of players that have these ridiculous nine-figure contracts that they've earned, right? They've earned, but they've never sold a ticket. Like you see, hey, this guy signs a 5-year, $150 million contract. And you're like, okay, but does anyone say, hey, that guy's coming to town.
I gotta see him.
We need to see that guy. Get the kids. I know it's a school night, but we're going down to the arena. We've got to see that guy. And they got a nine-figure contract. Difference between the NBA and the NFL, right? Carmelo Anthony was that guy. Hey, he's coming to town.
Right.
I want to go see Carmelo Anthony. Even late in his career, I remember. And of course, look, I have the Syracuse thing. But he got to the Lakers, and I'm like, I'm going to go see Carmelo Anthony.
Because you just never knew. No, Melo could put up, like, you know, Joker took 5 quarters yesterday to score 60. Melo put up 62 in 4 quarters.
Are you taking away from Joker's 61, 10, and 10 last night?
Not at all, but it was just a way to get to the fact that Melo.
And Melo got robbed of 2003 NBA Rookie of the Year. You hit her here first.
Absolutely. Fran Brown, coming up in 10 minutes.
And also, no one happier right now, Brockman, than our guy Ben Lyons.
Ben Lyons loves Carmelo Anthony. Diehard Knicks fan, Ben Lyons.
Nobody loves anything more than Ben Lyons loves him some Carmelo Anthony. So, we were texting earlier. He's, ecstatic right now. Shout out to Ben.
Carmelo Anthony was awesome his rookie year. He got absolutely robbed of rookie of the year.
Who won it?
LeBron James.
LeBron James,
Carmelo
bro.
Had better stats across the board. Got absolutely robbed.
I mean, it's.
But the draft was rigged for LeBron James, and everything was rigged for LeBron that year.
You think the draft was rigged for LeBron James?
1,000,000,000%, the draft was rigged for LeBron to stay in Cleveland.
Do you have proof?
No, of course not. But it was absolutely rigged. Just like the Knicks one in 85 was rigged for Patrick Ewing. 1,000,000,000%.
I believe the 85 one. But I don't believe the Cleveland one. I'll tell you why.
How was it not?
Things don't get rigged for Cleveland.
Period. Hey, Chris, it does. It's hard to argue that.
When the biggest star is from there and you need the city to matter across the league.
I don't remember the details of that night. I don't. I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm not the biggest NBA fan. I watch the NBA. I like the NBA. It's not football, obviously. I don't remember every last detail. But from a Cleveland perspective.
Well, that's just your Cleveland persecution complex.
Nothing has ever been rigged for Cleveland.
LeBron himself thinks that it was rigged. He said that on McAfee last week.
He did? I missed that.
He did.
Okay.
He alluded to it.
Was he joking about it?
I don't know. LeBron says a lot of things that are probably not true, so who knows?
Wow, there's a shot. I sent some LeBron animus
LeBron
here.
LeBron fame there in case you haven't figured it out yet.
Really? What did I say that was wrong?
You just said that LeBron says a lot of things that aren't true, is what you just said.
Guy claims to read a bunch of books, too. I mean, come on. What are we doing?
I mean, there are a lot of people in positions of power that claim they read a lot of books but have never read a book.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your favorite part of The Godfather? Oh, man, you know.
That one got me.
Oh, geez, you know, it's just, it's all so good. Really? Can't name one part of it?
I've never read The Godfather book.
I've never read the full Mario Puzo. My brother has.
He's just talking about the movie.
And I have the book.
Anyway, the 03 draft was 100% rigged. Come on.
I'll admit to you when I haven't, watched things.
Come on.
Like, for example, I haven't seen Slapshot.
You haven't? What?
What? I don't like sports movies.
I've never seen Slapshot either.
We've done this bit. I don't really like sports movies.
Are you up to date? Are you caught up on White Lotus?
I watched last night, yeah. So awkward. Oh my God, so awkward. I had to almost turn it off.
Slapshot.
Almost turned it off.
Oh, come on.
Coming up, the Charlestown Browns.
Let's go.
The Charlestown Chiefs.
Bravo TV star Lala Kent holds nothing back.
There's been so many times where I'm like, I apologize that I said that, but that wasn't meant for you to hear.
Feel you there.
How fun would it be to bring in some Bravo celebrities and make our own bracket?
Iconic.
All right, I'll take Dorinda, you take Sonia.
Sonia is who I wish I could be.
You and me both. I cannot be someone in the program. What's PTO?
Paid time off, see? Oh. You never had a real job.
Give them Lala.
It is nothing but honesty.
You guys know.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.